Hello, everyone. I must tell you this, that I've decided when it comes to anything XXX related, that it would be the most respectful best interest to have myself on my own behalf interact and meet up with feminist porn officials, ethical porn officials, because I understand that there's a plurality of thought amongst the ethical porn universe and the feminist porn universe. Some can't stand mainstream porn 100%. So they don't want to deal with anybody that has anything to do with that world. It could be on camera, behind the camera, executive leadership, and assistants. And then you have some who go, you can be in that world as long as you're dealing with people who put out healthy porn and all of your human rights and labor rights and sex workers' rights are 100% honored. Then you have some who go, well, you can be in that world, but not of that world. Like, you can meet up with that world and tell that world how it can be better. At the same time, none of the inhumane practices have anything to do with you. So those are the plurality of thought within the feminist porn, ethical porn world. And what I decided to do is, before I do anything major, I want to make sure that the feminist porn world and ethical porn world gives me their honest feedback on how they feel. Because I feel like if I explain, hey, this wasn't something I imposed upon myself, I was interacting with abuse survivors, and I'm one too, and they planted this seed in my head that caring sex and being compassionate lovers is something that the mainstream porn world needs. And I would say to them, they also told me that ethical porn and feminist porn policies and practices should be instituted in mainstream porn as well. So I've had to think about that when it comes to just meeting up with them in the future. How am I going to meet up with them? Well, email addresses and take it from there. And then I've looked at what has happened in regards to how mainstream porn and just porn in general makes anti-porn people, anti-sex work people feel. I don't mind meeting up with them too, because there's a lot that I agree with when it comes to those worlds. Even though the only thing we disagree on is sex work good? I say yes, they say no. And my yes comes from, it can be if you honor the labor rights and health and human rights of all sex workers involved. And they're not going for that. And they would say that porn is evil. Mine is, well, if you cater it to abuse survivors and you do it in ways that cause no trauma triggers to happen to us survivors, it can be artful. They're not going for that. So I still meet up with them to say, hey, instead of obsessing over what we'll never agree on, why not obsess over what we do agree on? I agree. Yes. Child prostitution is evil. Child pornography is evil. Involuntary prostitution is evil. Child marriage is evil. Pedophilia is evil. Rape is evil. Sexual harassment is evil. Sexual violence is evil. Sexual abuse is evil. Sexual assault is evil. Sexual grooming is evil. Street harassment is evil. Sexual harassment is evil. Sexual bullying is evil. Sexual molestation is evil. Incest is evil. Fraternism is evil. Groping is evil. Sexual predation is evil. Sexual perpetrating is evil. The commercial sexual exploitation of adults is evil. The commercial sexual exploitation of children is evil. Child sex trafficking is evil. Adult sex trafficking is evil. Adult human trafficking is evil. Child human trafficking is evil. The sexual slavery of adults and children are evil. The sexual exploitation of adults and children are evil. And the sexploitation of adults and children are evil. The sexual objectification of adults and children are evil. The commodification of adults and children are evil. The dehumanization of adults and children are evil. The reification of adults and children are evil. The self-objectification of adults and children are evil. Child sex clubs are evil. Child brothels are evil. Child massage parlors are evil. Child orgies are evil. Child sex parties are evil. That's what I would say. The rape culture of adults and children are evil. Bestiality is evil. Necrophilia is evil. And lastly, these marry your rapist laws are evil. Sexual trauma is evil. Sexual victimization is evil. Sexual subjugation is evil. See, so when it comes to anti-porn, anti-sex work people, we agree more than we disagree. I feel like, that's why it wouldn't be a problem for me to meet with them, because there's more work we can do together than the work we can't do together. I feel like what I will explain, because they'll say, but you said you go into mainstream porn, Tony. Can you explain that? How can you feel that way? And you may go in that world. I'll say, look, I'll tell them that I am working on making mainstream porn inoffensive to survivors of compound trauma, body, sexuality, eroticism, and sensuality. And I feel like, look, a lot of people who have been sexually scarred and sexually oppressed have told me, Antonio, there's a lot of mainstream porn consumers who are thinking the same thoughts as us survivors. And that was the first time I ever thought of that, by the way. Okay, now I'm going to get back to telling you what survivors told me. They don't mind you knowing this. They said, well, there is so many mainstream porn viewers that are sick and tired of not seeing a person like yourself in that world because they want to see sexual respectfulness. They want to see body honoring sex. They want to see revering the inner life of your lover's sex. And they said, Antonio, there's a lot of mainstream porn viewers that you may be able to get them to look at sex totally differently. You get to destroy the myths of sex that's in a lot of mainstream porn. You get to destroy the myths of sex that's in this world in general. And you get to destroy the myths of sex after rape culture that is perpetuated in this world. And they said, Antonio, we need to destroy all these sex myths for us, about us, and just overall. So I would tell them, well, this is not easy, but this is what was told to me. It wasn't me trying to be in that world. It was me trying my best not to be in that world. But when survivors tell you what helps them heal, what makes them heal, I have to have a soft heart to follow through and do what survivors are lovingly asking me to do for them, for us, actually. And I feel like there's a lot of people who feel that if you're a survivor, then there's no way that you can have empathy sensuality, empathy sexuality, and empathy eroticism. They feel like there's no way you can be a sexual being after all the sexual torture and sexual torment that you were involuntarily enduring, forced to endure. And they said, Antonio, there's a lot of people in the mainstream porn world who believe that, but they need you to destroy that because they're like, well, a lot of them feel that they have these myths, but they're looking for a person like you to show them that those doubts you have about these myths are good. Because there's some people believe certain things, but they're like, well, a part of me doesn't believe it. And if I could just see a person who dispels all these myths, I will never have all these myths about survivors and myths about sex ever again. And then what was very much a sensitivity for me, to tell the truth, I feel like also I would meet up with I was about to say that I do a lot of work with children and families, right? I would say I would meet up with the adults in these families also to figure out, okay, this is what happened to me growing up. This is how I'm healing. And this is what survivors said to me. What do you think? And if they say yes more than no, I will do triple X. If they say no more than yes, I won't do triple X. That's just how I am as a person. I'm very respectful because I recognize that I am a parental figure to a lot of children. So that's why I asked the question. I feel like instead of jumping out there, it's like, no, I need to meet up with these people, these lovely people, to make sure that whatever doing triple X, there's no such thing as, oh my God, you're endangering my children. Oh my God, how could you be a sexual shock jock? I'm not a sexual shock jock, but I'm not sexually squeaky clean either. I'm just being real on that. And I feel like, you know, what's important for me is to balance grown folk business with being a shepherd figure to children, shepherding the kids. And it's hard. It's hard for most adults to do that. I can't think of an adult that hasn't struggled with that at some point. It's harder for me because, again, this erotica porn thing wasn't something that I chose. It wasn't, well, I knew I always wanted to do this since I was this age. Never that. If anything, I felt like I was too ugly to do porn. I'm too ugly to do erotica. That's how I felt for years. It's like, okay, it's one thing for me to be sexually involved with the ladies, but that's off camera. That's how I felt when I started talking to survivors because I was in college at the time. And I was like, but oh no, I could never be nude on camera. I could never do that. Oh my God, no. No, 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 no. I just can't. I can't. Because I didn't feel good about myself. And I didn't feel like I was that attractive. I felt like I may be a little bit attractive because I'm having some sex, but I'm not super duper sex symbol, the boy next door type attractive. I didn't feel that way about myself. And when the survivor said that, I had to ask, is this a playful joke or these are serious statements that you're making? And when they said it again, I was like, oh, y'all are serious. Because when they said it, they weren't giggling. They had a serious look. But sometimes when some people joke, they have a serious look. But the way it comes out, it's like, I can't tell. So when they said it, I said, oh, wow. My fellow survivors really do feel this way. And so I felt conflicted for years because I'm like, well, I overcame organized crime. I overcame mental health issues, and I'm still in this world of religion and Christianity and church, and you know, I have a reputable family, and you know, I felt like and women see me as a male ally, male accomplice of their female empowerment. And so I felt torn. And so I tried to reject my own natural exhibitionism. I tried to reject my own natural nudism. I even tried to reject my own natural voyeurism because I'm like, I can't say I respect women, but behave in ways where I'm easily seen as a male pig, male misogynist, male sexist, chauvinistic, bravado, machismo, toxic, hypermasculine monster. And I never thought badly of voyeurists, exhibitionists, and nudists. I'm just saying, for me, I felt like, well, is there another way I can honor survivors? Because these are extremely, beyond measure, beyond compare, irreversible decisions. Once you do porn, even this one time, it'll be out there forever. Once you're in a, do a sex scene in a movie, it's out there forever. Once you do a sex scene in television, it's out there forever. So I remember expressing these healthy skepticism, healthy doubts with my fellow survivors. I was like, well, you know, I feel like, is there a better way that I can honor us? Is there a better way that I can introduce healthy sensuality and wholesome eroticism and appropriate sexuality? And they all said no. I can't count how many survivors have told me all these things. It was that many survivors, because survivors know best on what is right for us and wrong for us. We also know what's best on what is suitable for our healing and unsuitable for our healing. And so I struggled with this for 13 years. And I came to the conclusion that there is a need for, because survivors have said, Antonio, we would love if you could help us do a mixture or a combinage of sex surrogate partner therapy with tantric sex. That's what they told me. They said that's our definition of sacred sexuality. They said that's also how we define the concept of twin flame. And you can hear my breathing because I'm taking it all in as I'm speaking to you. So then thereon, what happened was just me having to come to grips with the fact that people are in need of survivors not surviving each other when it comes to sex, eroticism, sensuality, and romance, and the interpersonal. More people are looking to see themselves correctly displayed and rightly portrayed. I'm talking about those that are considered, when it, you know, sexually left behind and sexually left out. I'm in both categories. My other survivors, my fellow survivors, are in those two categories too. And what was not easy for me was to understand that when my fellow survivors first told me, Antonio, you love the cameras and you're photogenic. My fellow survivors had to give me positive affirmations about my own physical attractiveness as well as my own spiritual attractiveness. I didn't feel like I was in flesh and spirit appealing. I felt like I was unappealing, and I felt like I was unattractive at the time. So, I then had to really consider the best way to protect the children. That was the biggest reason why I tried my best to not ever do anything triple X, because I didn't want children to see porn. As in the organized crime world, I was exposed to mainstream pornography in terms of magazines, in terms of tapes, in terms of CDs, in terms of videos, in terms of audio, in terms of the written word, in terms of newsletters, in terms of mailboxes, in terms of cassette tapes, in terms of this is hard to say. In terms of full-length tracks, you know, like albums from the 1980s, 1970s, those type of albums. At that time, I was exposed to sexually explicit rap songs. They call it dirty rap. At that time, I was exposed to sexually explicit blues music. You know, they call that dirty blues. I was exposed to what is called gangster rap. All these things I was exposed to as a 5-year-old child by the women criminals more often than the men criminals. So I did not want any of the children to see what I was forced to see. And I remember talking to my fellow survivors like this. I'm like, well, you know, these things happen to us as kids. So how can I do triple X content? But we were exposed to triple X content abusively as children. I remember them telling me, they were like, well, Antonio, restricted to adults is one thing in terms of the label. They said that's the pornographic version of the parental advisory explicit content sticker you see on CDs and albums. And I said, and they said, you know, Antonio, what you're doing is not abusive at all. No parent in their right mind would go, you're trying to indoctrinate my children. Antonio, you're not an indoctrinator. They said, Antonio, a lot of people will help you to protect the kids. You're not going to be protecting kids by your lonesome. And they told me that you wouldn't ever do business with any company that unprotected the children. They said, also look at it this way. You would be promoting porn blockers to parents on the behalf of children, you would be promoting erotica blockers to parents on behalf of children. You would help them install software and other forms of technology where they have no access to adult materials of any kind whatsoever. And they can't even access the XXX websites where it says, you know, enter, exit. Are you 18 years old or younger than 18? If you're 18 over, you can enter, click. If you're under 18, click out and exit. They said, Antonio, your advertising of these things, the kids wouldn't even be able to lie about their age to get in, because the software, the blockers, the forms of technology, the apps would be so strong that they could never search for it, because the technology would automatically block search results, search history, and all sexual slang and all sexual terminology. And also, you would help the parents to get notified every time their child is using the internet. They said, okay, you would be the one that would create internet accountability and internet responsibility, where every site that the kid's been on, the parents get a text message, the parents get an email, and the parents get a copy of their responses in written form. The copy of the internet search history will automatically be sent to the parents, and they would just read the copy of it in their mailbox, like, oh wow. And they said, you would even have the humility to make sure that kids can't Google you when they try to search for you. They cannot. So they said, Antonio, you would be the type where you would talk to parents and you would not mind being somebody that cannot be found on the laptops, the computers, the phones. They said, Antonio, because you have that kind of heart for children, no parent in right mind would be hateful of you, because you also, they said, Antonio, you also are the type of person where no parent would go, you're a bad influence to my children, because people know your heart. They know your story. They know that you're not out here trying to corrupt anybody. In fact, they said, Antonio, even adults have a grown folk business side to them. Everything about us adults cannot be for children, because adults need adult time. And they said, Antonio, you're not the abusers that abused you. You're not the rapists who raped you. You're not the violent offenders who violently offended you. You're not the traumatizers who traumatized you. You're not the victimizers who victimize you. So they're like, Antonio, don't compare yourself to them, man. Don't ever compare yourself to a bunch of evil forces. They said, Antonio, don't you ever compare yourself to a bunch of pure evil ass motherfuckers. And they said, Antonio, when you get your podcast, of course it's going to be explicit, because there are a lot of explicit parts of your childhood, you know, in your life. And we can say the same thing about ourselves. They're like, it's no different than a comedy club. Some podcasts, adults understand. I consume it. The children do not. So this is for me, not for the young ones. An adult comedy club is no different. Everybody in there grown. If you're not grown, you can't be a part of it. They said, Antonio, no one in their right mind would tell you to get rid of your podcast because look at it this way. Everything can't be for adults and everything can't be for children. So we can't go around getting rid of things just because it's not for kids. No, there are things that are for kids and there are things that are for adults and there are things for both adults and kids. They said, Antonio, what you're talking about, what you are about, even though you love the children, it's really the adults that need to be hearing what you're saying. And you can tell the truth to children. Be age, you know, you age appropriate. You know you're emotionally appropriate. You know you're intellectually appropriate. And you know what to say to kids, what not to say to kids. Nobody has to tell you that. That's just in you. And they said, Antonio, you can't censor yourself because of the vipers who hissed at you as a kid. You can't censor yourself because of the snakes who bit you as a child. By the way, they're referring to those who tormented me sexually, non-sexually as a kid. When they say that, getting back to what they said, they were like, Antonio, what's important for us, for you to understand, is this. You're not promoting sexual unwholesomeness, quite the opposite. You're not promoting sensual unwholesomeness, quite the opposite. You're not promoting erotic unwholesomeness, quite the opposite. And they said to me, Antonio, you're not the demonic sensuality, the demonic sexuality, and the demonic eroticism of your childhood. And they said, Antonio, the fact that you're willing to put an E to your podcast, the fact that you're willing to say the E stands for explicit content, that lets people automatically know, okay, mommy and daddy can consume Antonio, but our sons, our daughters, our non-binary offspring cannot. And us non-binary parents, we can consume Antonio though. And so when I think about everything that happened, I felt a relief when the survivor said that, because survivors, we tell the truth. If we really don't like something, we'll say it. If we really like something, we'll say it. We don't give compliments to give compliments. We say it from the heart because we mean it. And when we give constructive criticism, it's always gentle. Never harsh. And I feel like I remember saying to the survivors too, because I really needed to hear from survivors on these things. And we were just healing together. And I remember you know, saying to the survivors that, my fellow survivors, I should say, is, do you think my nudism is bad? do you think my exhibitionism is bad? Do you think my voyeurism is bad? And they said, healthy nudism is real. Healthy exhibitionism is real. And healthy voyeurism is real. They said, none of those things advocate for indecent exposure. None of those things advocate for peeping toms. And none of those things advocate for streaking in public. And they said, Antonio, you are what the cameras are in need of. And that just really made me tearful out of joyfulness when they said these things, such things. Because when you have survivors affirming other survivors, and we start calling ourselves abuse survivor thrivers, focusing on the thriving more than the surviving, and we said, fuck surviving, hell yeah, the thriving. That meant a lot to us too. So, you're probably wondering, Antonio, since you're going to be, well, a strong likelihood you're going to do Triple X presentations, what will sexual environments be like for you? Well, I feel like the reason why I said that is because as a public figure, global one, I thought about what it would be like for me to meet my sexual needs, because it's easier to do it when you're a private figure, but when you're out there and open, it's much more of an intricacy. So I said to myself that that I was going to be someone that will never be a sexual casualty. So me and survivors would have these conversations. We would talk about, number one, how we felt about sex clubs. And I remember we were saying, we were pretty much live and let live, do no harm when it came to sex and sexuality. We did not have religious views on sexuality. We did not have toxic masculinity views on sexuality. And we did not have rape culture views on sexuality either, right? So we were live and let live, do no harm, golden rule type of sexuality. That's what our views on sexuality were and are. And they said, because I remember saying to them that that it may be impossible for me to be in that kind of environment without motherfuckers making it scandalous for me. And they said, Antonio, just like any environment, there's certain restaurants you go to, and there's certain restaurants you don't go to. And they said, sex clubs are no different. Some sex clubs have benevolent lovers, and some sex clubs have malevolent lovers. They said, you don't have to push away all sex clubs. The ones that honor your sensory needs on the autism spectrum, the ones that honor your racial justice needs as a black person, the ones that honor your gender and sexual diversity needs as a rainbow person, the ones that honor your safety and sanity needs as an extraordinary person that's gifted in a polymath, those are the sex clubs that you go to. Those are the sex parties that you go to. Those are the orgies that you go to. Those are the bunga bunga orgies that you go to. Those are the menage a quatres that you go to. Those are the menage a trois that you go to. Those are the foursomes and four ways that you go to. Those are the threesomes and three ways that you go to. Those are the swinger parties that you go to. Those are the legal brothels that you go to. Those are the legal massage parlors that you go to. And those are the bisexual bathhouses that you go to. And so I recently remembered that conversation. The more I heal, the more conversations that I have. And I decided to take that wise advice, because what I learned from that conversation was that I don't have to avoid every group sex environment. There's some group sex environments that are definitely filled with sexual egomania . There are some group sex environments that are of that are sexually arrogant. There's some sexual environments that are hazardous. There's some sexual environments that are fraught with danger. And then there are other group sex environments that are sexually well and sexually tranquil and you feel right at home and you feel like all is okay with the world, that world there. And that's what I learned from that interaction. And then they said, there's more that they told me. The survivors also said to me, Antonio, in terms of ethical adult sex tourism, this is what they told me. They said, they said, keep this in mind. Any environment that embraces minority rights, autism rights, LGBTQI+ rights, and the rights of those that are misunderstood by the world, those are the kinds of sex museums worth being a part of. Those are the kinds of legal escort services worthy of being a part of. Those are the kinds of sex conferences and conventions worth being a part of. Those are the kinds of porn conferences and porn conventions that you get to be a part of. Those are the kinds of porn awards and sex awards that you get to be a part of. Those are the kinds of legal live sex shows that you get to be a part of. Those are the kinds of legal erotic cinema that you get to be a part of. Those are the kinds of legal burlesque shows that you get to be a part of. Those are the kinds of legal strip clubs that you get to be a part of. Those are the kinds of legal sex spas that you get to be a part of. And they said those are the kinds of nudist-only adult resorts you get to be a part of. Those are the kinds of sex resorts you get to be a part of. Those are the kinds of love motels that you get to be a part of. Those are the kinds of naturism that you get to be a part of. Those are the kinds of nude beaches that you get to be a part of. Those are the kinds of nude photo shoots that you get to be a part of. They said, lastly, those are the kinds of nude arts that you get to be a part of. And they were also helping me understand that they said there's certain parts of sex tourism to stay away from, like any sex tourism that has a history of trafficking in human beings, having sex slaves, adult supremacy over children, and treating adults as objects to sexually control. And they said those aren't the type of sex, those are the parts of some sex tourism to stay away from. And they were telling me that some sex tourism is homophobic and transphobic. And they said some sex tourism is filled with whorephobia, whorearchy. And they said that some sex tourism is filled with the outlawing of abortion, capital punishment for LGBTQ plus people. And they said sometimes you don't know if the person that you're with is married. They said some parts of sex tourism is unsafe because and perilous because you don't know how many spouses that person has because of the capital punishment and corporal punishment for adultery. And they said some parts of sex tourism are fraught with shock, unpleasant shock, because of the ultra-conservative sexual places where there's capital punishment, corporal punishment for fornication, there's capital punishment, corporal punishment for masturbation, pornography is outlawed, and so they said, yes, those parts of sex tourism you have to leave alone because they're completely unethical. And they said the ones that are ethical, the ones that I said before, you know, the ones that honor all of you, go ahead. The ones that don't, stay the fuck away from, stay the hell away from. This is what the survivors actually said to me word for word. And they said that there's some islands and some and some continents where casual sex is worthy of death. And they said that in certain parts of the world, premarital sex is worthy of death. And they said those are the places to never, ever show the fuck up in. They're the places to never show the fuck in, ever. And I remember we were talking about sex tourism concerns, and they said, you know, just as long as they appreciate you for who you truly are for all the right reasons, and that your looks is just a bonus to them, those are the kinds of people worthy of sharing your body with. Now, the ones who just see you as exploitation material, those are the ones you never share your body with. Never share shit with those motherfuckers. That's exactly what they said to me. And, you know, I remember that you know, they said, Antonio, one last thing I tell you. There are some BDSM clubs that can handle a black autistic LGBTQI+ extraordinary person like yourself, and there's some that can't. So you already know what to do with the ones that can't. I said, leave them be. Damn right. And the ones that can, go have my fun. They said, you're a bright man, Antonio. It's one of the reasons why we get along so well. So I remember those lessons. I remember that conversation today, actually. And I will take those lessons with me as a public figure that I am. Like, I don't have to avoid each kind of group sex and environment. I don't have to avoid each kind of ethical adult sex tourism environment. I avoid the unethical group sex environments. I have fun at the ethical group sex environments. I avoid the unethical sex tourism environments. I have fun at the ethical adult sex tourism environments. By the way, the group sex is all adults, just for clarity purposes. Anyway, I wanted to say this. Who else do I... who else is a part of my audience? I think that is an excellent question. I think that my audience, in terms of my adult fan base, my adult entertainment fan base, survivors of opportunistic infidelity, survivors of obligatory infidelity, survivors of romantic infidelity, survivors of conflicted romantic infidelity, survivors of commemorative infidelity, survivors of emotional affairs, survivors of physical affairs, survivors of hidden attachments, survivors of online infidelity. Survivors of cyber affairs, survivors of financial infidelity, survivors of micro cheating. Survivors of emotional infidelity, survivors of escape affairs, survivors of casual affairs, survivors of object affairs, survivors of romantic affairs, survivors of online affairs, survivors of revenge affairs, survivors of romantic cheating, survivors of obligatory cheating, survivors of cheating sexually, survivors of adultery, survivors of extramarital affairs, you know, yeah, survivors of physical affairs, survivors of sexual affairs, survivors of exit affairs, survivors of long-term affairs. Survivors of lifelong affairs. Um, And these types of people have encouraged me to do Triple X material because they told me it would be therapeutic to them. And they said that that they have endured rape culture themselves. They don't mind you all knowing these things.